think we ought to do this one? Or you don't want to?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
That's enough.
Okay, we're gonna play this Samaritan's Purse video here. I think it's all set up. So November 17th is dedication Sunday. I have boxes. We've got 100 more boxes. So if you need boxes, take as many as you think you'll need. You can take them today, or right behind this door, up against the wall, are the boxes. So I'll get them out after church today if you think you want one. Also, don't ask me to mention the ladies' Bible study from James. She has Bethmore Bible study from James, and she's rented these tapes until December. So next Saturday at 9 a.m., right, not this Saturday, the 19th, sorry, so the 19th of October, 9 a.m. at our house. And if you want a book, just let Dawn know today, and she'll get those ordered for you. So that'll start at 9 a.m. Saturday, 19th. If you have any more questions about that, ask me and I'll ask them. There is a sign-up sheet in the back window. If you have any more questions, ask me and I'll ask Bill and he'll ask them. So. All right, so we'll get this going here. This is a pretty nice video here. Hopefully this plays good here.
When you pack shoebox gifts with Operation Christmas Child, you are sending joy and blessing children all over the world. Through your simple act of kindness, children experience the love of Jesus, are discipled through the local church, and are empowered to reach their families and communities with the good news of Jesus Christ.
And the countdown happens, and the cheers just erupt everywhere. This could be the first present that they've ever received.
This children just received the shoeboxes. Look at them, how excited they are.
They cannot believe what is in there, and their love, Operation Christmas Child gifts, really touches children's heart.
These kids around the world are receiving a box, but they're also receiving an invitation to the greatest gift of all, which is Christ.
During distribution, we tell children that there is a God who created us and who loved us. This shoebox is a demonstration of the love of God.
Yes, that's love, sir.
We're here for Operation Christmas Child, and we're giving out shoeboxes to these children to symbolize God giving His gift, His Son, Jesus Christ.
Every box is a miracle, and these boxes that you've had make an eternal difference.
This is about the gospel, taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, but going through a shoebox. And it's really a blessing to see these kids open up these gifts that you gave.
Without you, we couldn't present the gospel of Jesus to these children.
A lot of happy kids here. A lot of happy kids.
Volunteers from all walks of life and all ages love packing Operation Christmas Child shoebox gifts.
We are here at the Devil Board talking to people about Operation Christmas Child.
Ephesians 12 today, if you'd like to turn there and So let's just pray before we look to God's word. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes so we could behold wondrous things from your law. And we thank you for the worship we've been able to do this morning and just the beautiful songs we've been able to sing and lift to you. Thank you that there is a gate ajar for us, that we have a way into your kingdom. And Lord, I just pray that we would make it our story and our song to worship you all day long, and just ask that you would help us to find that perfect submission and perfect delight that Fanny Crosby talked about in that song, and just because you modeled that for us so well, Jesus, we ask that you would just help us as we look at your word, not in any way to run away from it, but help us to see what you have for us this morning, but also just, Lord, may we be obedient to your word and just perfectly submit to it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, spiritual gifts. And now, dear brothers and sisters, I will write about the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives to each of us, for I must correct your misunderstandings about them. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know how to discern what is truly from God. No one speaking by the Spirit of God can curse Jesus, and no one is able to say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it is the same Lord we are serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the work through all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, he gives the gift of special knowledge. The Spirit gives special faith to another. And to someone else, he gives the power to heal the sick. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and to another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to know whether it is really the Spirit of God or another spirit that is speaking. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, and another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The human body has many parts,
but the many parts make up only one body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit, and we have all received the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am only an ear and not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? Suppose the whole body were an eye, then how would you hear? Or if your whole body were just one big ear, how would you smell anything? Kids, that's sort of funny, isn't it, to think about your whole body just being a big ear? All right. But God made our bodies with many parts, and he has put each part just where he wants it. What a strange thing a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary, and the parts we regard as less honorable and those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect from the eyes of others those parts that should not be seen, while other parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other equally. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Here's a list of some of the members that God has placed in the body of Christ. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who can get others to work together, those who speak in unknown languages. Is everyone an apostle? Of course not. Is everyone a prophet? No. Are all teachers? Does everyone have the power to do miracles? Does everyone have the gift of healing? Of course not. Does God give all of us the ability to speak in unknown languages? Can everyone interpret unknown languages? No. And in any event, you should desire the most helpful gifts. First, however, let me tell you about something else that is better than any of them. That's a teaser for chapter 13. We're not going to go there today. But I guess if it's harvest time right now, and up in Sunday school today we had a passage from James chapter 3 verses 13 to 18, and it had this verse that said, plant peace and harvest goodness. And I'd like to think, we were singing about peace this morning, I'd like to think that this still can be something we want to do with our gifts. We want to plant peace in the church and bring peace to the world. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to plant peace and harvest goodness. And so I want to think about Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. And a number of you know that just by memory. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has before ordained. So he's got work for you to do. And here's our gifts. And point number one of the 7 points that I have from this passage is God's got work for you to do. And you might not want to hear that, actually. You might be like, ah, shoot. My wife's got a list of things I got to do, you know. Husbands, we all fear that one question, don't we? Okay, you're maybe sitting in your lazy boy chair at home. You got the football game on. And then maybe someone says to you, someone very close to you in your family says, so what are you going to do today? And you're like, oh, 70% of communication is nonverbal. That TV's on, the football game is on, you're sitting in the chair. What are you going to do today? I don't know. What am I going to do today? And so that's sort of a question we fear sometimes. And sometimes I think we can just kind of get comfortable and say, this is what I'm going to do today, God. I just I want to do this right here. But how do we know what we're supposed to do before we get to the gifts that we're going to use to do God's work? How do we know what we're supposed to do? Here's some suggestions. Ask God. John Grau, a former member, recently gone to be with the Lord, and Alice, his dear wife, 81 years old. He was still waking up every morning, he told me. He'd say, God, what do you want me to do? Before I even get out of bed, what do you want me to do today? So we can ask. That's a good thing to do. We can check the list. Sometimes I will have a list. They're called honey-do lists, right? There's a honey-do farm on Route 126, some of you are familiar with. And just we all have things to do. So sometimes someone else, a boss at work, a principal for teachers, will say, we'd like you to do these 10 things in addition to teaching your lesson and grading your papers and coaching and chaperoning dances. And we're like, okay, right on that. Okay, so, but we all have things we have to do. We should check the list. And sometimes almost every day, I make a list of things that I need to get done. And sometimes it takes me all day, 2 days, a week. Sometimes it's a month. Sometimes I find a list from a year ago and I'm like, ha, still got 5 things to do. So some of you are very glad that you don't make lists for me, okay? But anyways, ask God, like John Grau, what do you want me to do? Check the list, and the Bible is our list too, right? So if we're reading God's word, and let me just go to James here. James 1:27 says, pure and lasting religion in the sight of God our Father means that we must care for orphans and widows in their troubles and refuse to let the world corrupt us. So maybe if we're looking at the shoebox video and thinking of orphans in other countries, widows in other countries that maybe can't give their child a shoebox, this is a thing on the list, something we should do probably. James 2:8 says, yes, indeed, it is good when you truly obey our Lord's royal command found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if we are looking at our list, what does your neighbor need help with? Look around. What needs do you see that people have? So, and again, this is just how we get to where we're going to start using our gifts. How do we know? Ask God, check the list. And then Philippians 2, 1 through 3 says, make my joy complete. Consider others' interests as more important than your own. So that's just a few things from the list. But there's Colossians 3 says to be rich in good deeds. So we should be bringing God glory by doing things for others. And so that's some of what we know. What else helps filter that out? Well, do what you're able to do. If Neil had a tractor that broke and he said, hey, Paul, come on up. I want you to fix my tractor. I would say, Neil, that's not my gift, okay? And if you care about your tractor, you'll keep me far away from it. So do what you're able to do. God doesn't say, well, do something that you're not qualified for. But in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 5 and 6, he says, he makes us competent. Sometimes you're taking on Goliath, and that might not be what you had in mind, but you're able. You've killed a lion and a bear. I'm not going to say tiger, or half of you will say, oh my, okay. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Okay, that's from a play. Never mind. You're just checked out right now, aren't you? You're just saying, well, finish up fast, Paul. We're not listening. But David had killed a lion and a bear before and taking care of the sheep and going out to take care of Goliath was something that God impressed on him that he needed to do. So he used his gifts. He had some talents. But ask God what you should do. Check the list. Do what you're able to do.
and then do it with God's power. Pray and pray and pray. Whatever we do as a church with our gifts, we want to pray and pray and just bathe our every ministry, our Bible studies, our Sunday school classes, everything just needs to be washed in prayer daily. And I think when John Grau was saying, what do you want me to do? That's a prayer, isn't it? And at the end of Luke, the disciples were told, stay in the city till the Holy Spirit comes, the promised counselor comes. We need to be empowered by God's Holy Spirit before we try to do anything as a church. And I just think there's some good guidelines here for using our gifts, but I just wanted to go over, before we even start using them, let's make sure that we're prayed up, we're asking God to glorify His name and empower us to do His work. And so verse 1 is point number 2, you have special abilities. Point 1, God's got work for you to do. Point 2, you have special abilities. And there's a list of these special abilities here, and I'll get to the list a little later, some of these special abilities, but we need to make sure that we're aware there's work to do and that we're aware that God gave each person in this room special abilities. So nobody got left out. So we all have work to do. We all have the ability to do what God has for us. And point 3, there are different gifts and different kinds of service, but we all serve the same Lord. So the Lord is working this orchestra together. Okay? And if we walk in here, if Pastor Bruce walks in here with an oboe, and I say, we don't do oboes at Emmaus Bible Fellowship, well, Pastor Bruce could say, well, I'm an oboe player, and we're going to have oboes here, okay? And we need violins and oboes and guitars and everything that the Lord blesses us with. We need to say, okay, these are different gifts, different kinds of service. So we need to embrace the differences. Just this little cajon, you know, for a lot of years we didn't have this here, and then we got exposed to that and started using it, and I just am amazed that it adds a richness to the songs and stuff. It's wonderful. I probably told, you know, no offense to anyone else, my son included, because he played it, but I probably told Jaron, you know, he's like the best in the country as far as I'm concerned. He's relaxed up there, and he just, I mean, we could do Foggy Mountain Breakdown and Jaron could keep up, I think. So the problem is I don't think there's anybody here at church that can play it. Maybe Pam can. Just get up here on the keyboard, Pam. Can you? Okay, so, all right. I'm starting to tip things over up here. Must be time to be done. All right, so we need to embrace the differences and not judge or condemn them. And there's a great story. I don't know, I can't document this, I don't know. I've heard different preachers tell this story. During the 1970s, I think it was the 70s, it could have been the 60s. Kids, have you ever heard of hippies? Hippies were like these, kind of like, you know, they might have bare feet, okay, but they would dress, maybe unbutton like 3 more buttons on their shirt, you know, and they didn't have a t-shirt on, and they'd sing all these, you know, rock songs and stuff like that, and who knows what they were doing for entertainment. But anyways, 1960s and 70s, during the hippie movement, there was also a thing called the Jesus movement, where God sent His Holy Spirit right into groups of these people and started winning them over. And if you've ever met, or if you know, Bo Kropp, he was kind of like a hippie, and he had a very real experience with Jesus. And today, if you go to the
the New Life Church or New Day Church. Boy, there's a lot of members of his family that are now in the kingdom, and that's because he was saved kind of right out of that whole hippie movement by the Jesus movement that kind of swept into that. But anyways, I didn't have to say all that. A hippie in the 1970s comes into this church, and the church, boy, it sounded a lot like the Baptist church I grew up in. In the 1970s, North Syracuse Baptist Church, we had pews on this side, pews on this side, and they went all the way back for a long ways. And well, this one hippie came to church, and, you know, we had our suits on and our ties and our King James Bible we could hit you with if you moved too fast or something. But we were a good church. We were a loving church, but we had, that was the way we looked. And Dawn and I went to Charleston just, was it last year, Dawn? Last year we went for our 30th anniversary, and we found a church, and I stepped into this church, and I was like, I feel like I'm back in my church in North Syracuse Baptist back in the 70s. And it was just laid out the same way. People dressed the same way. All the kids, everybody, all the people, they all came in with their Bibles and sat down. Well, I'm not poking fun at that, but in this story, in a church just like this, a hippie walks in to the church service, and he's there to worship God, and he might not know better, I don't know, but he just walks down the middle between these acres of pews, and he walks right up front, and the pastor's sitting up here, and sometimes the podiums are elevated, and pastor's preaching right in the middle there, and this hippie came in, and he sat on the floor right in the front, didn't even sit in a pew, sat right in the front center. I mean, if they did the offering, Ty and Owen would trip on him, you know, he was sitting right there, you know. So was this guy just trying to seek attention? I don't know. But what was really cool about this story, and maybe Adrian Rogers told it, I bet Pastor Bruce, you've told this story probably 10 times or something too, but this hippie's sitting there, and everybody's like, it's hard not to see him, right? Well, one of the oldest elders in the church just gets up. He's wearing his suit and tie, and he just walks right down there, sits down next to that man and puts his arm around him and sat next to him for the whole service. And I thought, that's a beautiful story of not judging. Like, it's okay to have a church culture. We have a culture here, just certain ways we do things. And we just need to, and I know you're getting nervous. You're like, he stalled out on point three. Oh, no. But we all serve the same Lord. We need to embrace the differences and not judge or condemn them. Okay, so last week I was at Josh and Livy's church in Rochester, and they sing more choruses than we do, and sometimes I will, you know, kind of push against that. I'm an old school guy. I love these hymns that I've sung since I was, you know, 5 years old, and I memorized all the verses just by reading all five of them so many times, and they're so meaningful to me, the hymns. I love them. But I sang a chorus last week, All Hail King Jesus. I was weeping. I was just so moved by that. So I would miss out on that entirely if I didn't, you know, go to that church with them. And if I was so busy saying choruses, boy, I'm not sure I can find the word chorus in the King James Bible here. What a beautiful thing it is when we embrace the differences that we have. African cultures, African music is polyrhythmic. They'll have five different rhythms going in the same piece of music. It's beautiful. Orchestras, we know, Bach, Tchaikovsky, all these great composers, they make music with all these different instruments, and it blends together under the care of a conductor, and just a wonderful, wonderful experience to hear all that beautiful music coming from focused effort, different instruments, but one person, the Lord Jesus, is our conductor, and he can just do beautiful things when we just say,
embrace the differences. Let's not judge or condemn those different styles of worship. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, anything goes. We're not saying don't measure what we do by the Bible, but, you know, choruses versus hymns, that we ought to be able to get by that. If someone had a drum set and played drums in church, would that be too much? Would an electric guitar make us all just go, oh no, my word? You know, it would be a different thing for this church. But we need to just realize there's different gifts. And that I was just talking music there. We all have, you know, some people might say, you know, the Bible studies, I don't really care to sit around and do a Bible study. I think we ought to have a football ministry. We'll have the men meet out there Saturday mornings, and we'll throw passes, and then we'll have a devotion after. But that's really a lot more active than just sitting around. And baby showers, I don't think I want to do that. Well, guess what? Men and women are different, and they're going to have different activities. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have men's Bible studies or things like that. It's just too diverse. There's too much for me to mention. But I just want to go on to the next point here, lest you all just fall asleep and never ask me to preach again. But there are different gifts, different kinds of service. Ask God, what is my kind of service? Ask him. Check the list. Read your Bible. What is God convicting you of that you could do here at this church? Verse 7 is point 4. Your gift is to help the church. Let me read verse 7 again. You're like, okay. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. So there's something you can do. I've already, you know, mentioned a lot of times, specific ones of you have that gift of encouragement. And boy, I tell you, I'll come in sometimes and I'm just like overwhelmed and I just got too much going on and just thinking, there's no way I'm going to ever be able to do this. And some one of you will come along, just like the men that held up Moses' arms, you know, they'll just come alongside you and give you a boost. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm feeling great just because of the gift of encouragement that some of you give to me. So we need to, as we do this, use our gifts. God wants to work in our weakness to bring glory to him. And God makes us competent. Those are two points I maybe already made. But in Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that's when you get power and will be witnesses to Christ. Well, we're witnesses when we use our gift. Okay, it's not just a speaking. When we use our gift, you know, I know Owen is great at drama. When he uses that gift of drama, that's a God-given gift. And he uses that at school. He's really good at that there. He uses it at church. You've been a shepherd, what, 12 years in a row? Come on, that's great. You know? So he's like, more, okay. Hoping for a starting role this year, okay? You know, anyways, I guess we all have to do our part, though. And I remember some kids have even been a donkey in the play, you know, so Jesus could ride on a donkey. So some of you are like saying, I'm not going to be the donkey. Okay, but anyways. Point 5, God has put the body together. It is designed by him. If the psalmist can say in Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. If that's our human body, Paul is using this human body example here. Can we not say about our church, can we not look at our church and just say, our church is fearfully and wonderfully made? And big surprise that you go through a church and, oh, this person has very different gifts than me. This person has different gifts. Yes, we all have different gifts, and that's by design. And so your job is not to find, if you're a foot, to find another foot and say, let's kick everybody. Come on. Foot. No, we don't need to be like that. Just look around and just see how beautiful it is when we work together. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Okay? That body, that person that learns how to be an athlete, he just moves his body so gracefully in and out of harm's way, these huge linemen trying to annihilate him by tackling him. And ask Kendrick, he's a football player from South Florida. Okay, there's guys that are just so elusive, aren't they, Kendrick? They can just, you think you got them tackled, and they're like, okay. Dawn said at Carthage, they recently had a dance-off, and we had to chaperone a dance last night till 10 o'clock at Carthage homecoming. It was one of the highlights of my life, certainly, Dawn. Thanks for asking me to do that. But anyways, we did see this one boy, and she pointed him out. I didn't see him dancing, but she said he's a freshman, and he won the dance-off at this high school pep rally or whatever. But again, a great dancer. They can just move and control their body in just the coolest ways. I did see a kid doing the worm last night where they go like this on the floor. But folks, we need to think, not forget about me up here, okay? I've only got two more points, and then my gift is over for the day. It's like, yeah, phew. But you guys have to think. Your homework is to go home and say, hey, what is it? What gift do I have? Am I checking the list? Am I asking God? Am I doing what I'm able to do? And am I doing it? Am I praying about it and saying, I will do this to build up the church? There's a beautiful passage here in verses 4 through 7, and this comes from Dr. David Jeremiah, his study Bible notes. This is how he says, please note the Trinitarian structure of verses 4 through 7. Okay, Trinitarian structure, okay. What he's saying is, in those verses, it mentions the Spirit, it mentions the Lord, and it mentions God. And he's saying, Paul is bringing that out in verses 4 through 7, that the Trinity, very different manifestations. Jesus dying on the cross. If you had tried to nail the Holy Spirit to the cross, you couldn't do that, right? You'd be like, oh, miss me. Oh, no, that doesn't really work. Oh, okay, whoop, oh, I'm off the cross. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, very different manifestation than Jesus. But what did Jesus do? Fanny Crosby song, perfect submission, perfect delight. He perfectly submitted. If you read Ephesians 2, he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. He just said, forget about my rights. I'm submitting to the Father's will. What did he pray that night? Mark chapter 14, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer tonight at youth group. Not the Lord's Prayer, the Last Supper. The Last Supper. And our devotion there tonight is Jesus and Gethsemane and, you know, saying, not my will, but thine be done. And that's when the ultimate submission was. He submitted for 33 years to the plan from Christmas, 33 years later, all the way to that night in the garden. He submitted to God's will. And then that most difficult crucifixion and all trial and all of that, he didn't want to go through it. And you and I wouldn't want to either. And some of you are walking through valleys that you don't want to walk through. But we have to say, God, not my will, but thine be done. And when we have that perfect submission, what did God do for Jesus? He said, now I'm going to exalt you. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is King. Just a really beautiful thing to think about. But God has put the body together. Let's revel. Let's revel in this beauty of design. Let's say, search me and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Psalm 139 ends like that. Let's do that with our church. Let's, as a body, just say, Lord, how are we not using our gifts? How are we just falling short of being an aroma of Christ, of a gate ajar for lost souls? How are we not being what you want us to be? Point six, there's a song by Benny Hester. He was a singer, Christian singer in the 1980s. It's called He Knows My Name. And you could listen to that song. Rebecca St. James sings a song on Psalm 139, says, "You search me, you know me." And then I love this line of the song, "Even though you know, you will always love me." God sees every ugly fault and flaw. Okay, and I know it's just fun not to have that spotlight on you sometimes, isn't it? Because when you click the light on in the morning, you look in the mirror, you're like, whoa, got work to do. Only got a half hour, too, and then I got to go stand in front of 100 ninth grade critics. So I better do this and this and this. Tuck this here or something, I don't know. So, but folks, when we go before God and we're on our knees and saying, "Lord, search me, know my heart," we know the ugliness of our souls sometimes, and we just have to say, "Lord, cleanse me, purify me, make something beautiful in your time in my life." But we need to just be confident. Whatever flaw, we're on our knees, and the Holy Spirit says, thank heavens, he does not point them all out at once, right? He says, "Hey, work on this week." But when sometimes you're just overwhelmed with your unworthiness, right? And you just say, "Lord, I'm an ugly Christian. I'm an ugly dad. I'm an ugly father." And sometimes we just have to sing the words to that Rebecca St. James song and just say, "Even though you know, you will always love me." And then, folks, we just need to confess our sin. But he knows your name. Jesus is not up in heaven with, 7 billion kids. I don't know. Oh, my gosh. He knows exactly how many hairs are on your head. He knows the stars all have a name. He knows your name. He cares about you. That's point six. And as a member of this body, you can't just opt out and say, "Oh, God doesn't care. He doesn't care if I do something." He's got something for you to do. And even if you're not doing it, he wants you back on board, and he loves you. And then point seven is, what's in your wallet? Okay, maybe I just ran out of time and needed a point seven. I was watching TV, and that's the Capital One commercial, right? What's in your wallet? Well, I'm not going to make this a long point because we're over for time, but what's in your wallet is about looking at these gifts. You look at these lists, and you can go through them on your own. Faith, healing, teaching, helping others, giving wise advice. Go through verses 27 to 31 and verses 8 through 11, and basically say, "God, what did God give you?" The what's in your wallet credit card, that means, oh, you can do more stuff with this card. Well, you can do more than you're doing, but you have to ask, what is in my wallet? What did God give me that he's given me the ability to do? And what do I need to do for him? So just going to close in prayer, and we'll just ask the Lord to bless these words. Dear Lord, you say your word does not come back void, and we ask, Lord, that just verse 7 alone of this chapter, 1 Corinthians 12:7, that says, we have special abilities, each of us, so we can help grow the church, help heal the church, help encourage the church. Just pray, Lord, that each person here would ask what they can do, what gift they have. Help them to ask, what can I do for you today? Check the list. See what abilities they have, their own personal inventory. And then pray and pray and pray. And then, Lord, I ask for courage. Help us to be bold and strong. And I would love to have 4 or 5 more people that say, hey, we're gonna play our oboe or our viola or whatever it is, our steel guitar. But, Lord, it doesn't have to be an instrument. If there's a person here that says, my gift is doing oil changes, then I'll help change oil for widows in church or something. Whatever it is, God, help us be bold enough to be strong and courageous to come forward and say, this is my gift. This is how I'd like to encourage believers at Emmaus Bible Fellowship. This is how I believe I can reach others for the kingdom of God. Help us to do that, Lord, and thank you for the beautiful diversity of people right here in this room. Lord, give us your Holy Spirit to just have a love that's so deep for each other that when people look at us, the love we have for us, they'll say, we know Jesus was real. We know he came from the Father because of that deep, deep love they have for each other. Help us to really show it, Lord, not just say it. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never.